Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, March 31st, 2019. Pastor Paul Talberg.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's Word again today you're going to be seeing on the screen as we see this part from Luke chapter 6. This is a very familiar part. If you've ever had to point out someone's error, the first thing that comes back to you is this main verse, "Judge not, you shall not be judged." That's what Jesus said. And they forget the other part where God tells us to correctly judge. When Jesus was doing his Beatitudes, he was basically outlining, this is what God expects. And when you and I look at our lives, we see we don't reach that expectation. And then when we're tempted to despair, remember who it is that's talking. It's Jesus. He wants us to know this about ourselves and about the fact that he came and he did it right. So please give your attention now to the screen as we go to Luke chapter 6, starting with verse 36.
Judged. Do not condemn. And you will not be condemned. Forgive. And you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of.
In the name of Jesus Christ, my dear friends and fellow believers, there is a very famous guy. His name is Steve Covey. He wrote a couple books, and he, in one of his books, he talks about what happened to him personally when he was in New York City. Now, I have not been to New York City, so, well, I did, but I was so little I didn't remember much of it. But they have things there called subways. They're great. You get on these things, they go zooming along, you don't have to drive, you don't have to worry about it, and then, but on subways, there's all sorts of people. And Steve Covey tells us about a time when he was on the subway, sitting down. Doors open up, in comes this dad and his kids, and sits down right next to him. And the kids are wild. They're undisciplined. They're running all over the place. All the other parents in the car bringing their kids closer to themselves. They don't want them to be in that whole group of things. And Steve tells us that he was watching this thing going on, and he was thinking, man, what kind of a dad is this? What, he's so lazy, he's not even taking care of his own kids. And what kind of kids are they? And who's in charge of disciplining them? All these things went into his mind. course, everyone's kind of quiet. All the older ones are going, tisk, 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 shaking their heads, mumbling quietly to themselves. Guy's sitting right next to Steve, so Steve leans in and says, hey, you might think about, you know, maybe settling your children down. And the guy is hardly moved, and he says, oh, I suppose, yeah. He lifts up his head, and he calls to his children by name, and they come to him and sit down. And as Steve's trying to figure out what's going on, the guy says, you know, I should have probably kept a closer eye on them because they're, you know, we just came from the hospital and their mom died, and they don't quite know how to process that. She only died an hour ago, and I don't know how to process it. And I don't know what I'm going to do. Just like that, his judgment of Steve changed. Steve, looking at this guy, being a lazy dad, all of a sudden switched. And now he has had compassion for the man. The guy is mourning for his wife. No wonder the kids. It all falls into place. And now he had correct judgment. Before, he did not have all the information, and he was making snap judgments, wrong judgments, that if he would have verbalized them, would have ruined this man's reputation. But when he had it all, it changed completely. The Lord does not say, when he says, do not judge, he doesn't say, put your common sense on hold. Every parent knows you have to judge. In fact, you spend a lot of time teaching your children how to judge. You teach them how to identify bullies so that they are not bullied. What to do when you are bullied so that you do not, in turn, become a bully. We all make judgments. Making judgments is not wrong. Making correct judgments is wonderful. Making incorrect judgments and wrong judgments, that's... the Lord forbids that, categorically. Judge not that you not be judged. So if he wants us to judge and judge correctly, not to judge incorrectly, how do you do that? As a Christian parent, I made use of the one thing that I know is absolutely perfect, God's word. You know, it's amazing. As Lutheran parents entrust their children to their pastors for 2 years of specialized training. And you know why that is? So that we can be together with the parents and help the children discern what is God's word and what is man's word. What does God say? What does man say? So that they will be blessed by following what God says. Yeah, we all judge, we all discern. And the Lord says he wants you to go to his word to find out how to do it. Now listen to these words. These words are also written by Isaiah. Again, he's about 700 years before Jesus was born. And these words talk about people who sin. And they sin in a way that is a judgmental, an incorrect way of judging. He said this in chapter 5, woe to those who begin by pulling at transgression with a thread, but end by dragging sin along as if it were with a cart rope. They say, we want God to speed up his work, to hurry it along so we can see it. We want the Holy One of Israel's plan to come true right now so we can be sure of it. Well, you can see right away who the emphasis is on. It's not on God and his word, it's on me, me, me. And then come some really damning words. He was trying to wake up a whole nation that had fallen into sin. And this is what he says. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe to those who change darkness into light and light into darkness. Who change bitter into sweet and sweet into bitter. Woe to those seeing themselves as wise, esteeming themselves as clever. Our command not to judge others is not a command to put your common sense on hold, a command not to be discerning. It's a command to stay out of God's shoes, to stay out of God's throne, stay off of God's seat. God is the only one who can see what's going on in someone's heart. He is the only one who knows whether what you did was out of hate or out of pride. Because God's the only one who sees the heart. So he says, when you are judging and making discernment in this world and making your assessments, make sure you do not do it like the world does. The world does it spot like that. Make a bad judgment, boom, that's it. You're a bad person. He says here, not to put yourself in God's place. How do you do that? I saw some people come in late today. And then they kind of sat down quietly, hoping that nobody would notice. I noticed. So now I have to make an assessment, right? Did they come in because they just could care less to be in God's house, and they're just got to make up a showing? Or did they come in because they're so rushed that they had forgotten things that maybe they didn't manage time right? Or did God put things in their way as little hurdles to make their faith stronger so they would make sure they would come and give God praise and glory and meet his people and give him encouragement? I choose to think that the reason why people come in late is because it's part of God's plan to get them here, and I don't know all the reasons why, but they're here. That's the important thing, to hear in God's house, to hear God's word to God's people. My dad explained it to me like this as I was growing up. He says, all throughout life, you see snapshots, and you can make decisions based on snapshots. He said, but remember, there's only one person who sees the whole movie, and that's God. So you don't know what's going on. He's basically telling me what God says here. Get out of God's judgment seat. You have no business being in God's shoes. That's the first commandment. Judge not. Condemn not. Oh, and we find it so easy to do. So easy to do. It even happens in church. You know, this easy to judge, not just people coming late. That's okay, you're fine. It happens in church with, in Jesus' day, they were really good at being nitpickers and pointing out what's wrong with everybody, and you're not worshiping right, and I don't have a white shirt on today. Oh, no. I don't have on black pants today. Oh, no. Somebody back in the Pharisees' day would let me know, excuse me, you're not properly dressed for the Lord's house. I once gave a Bible information course to a young man, brilliant young man. What happened was that this young man came to church one day. He was a teenager, and he was running late, and as a teenager, he was not taking care of his appearance, and comes running up the steps to go to church, and he told me, he says, Pastor, says, I got no love for the church at all because of this thing that happened to me when I was 10. Nobody in my family wanted to come to church. I wanted to come to church, so I ran to church. I was looking all bad. I walked up to church, and they said to me, they walked right in my way, and they said, you can't come in because you're not dressed properly. This is God's house, young man. Get out of those jeans. Put on some nice shoes, and then we'll talk. And they sent him away from church. There are people like that today. There are people like that also in Jesus' day. They caught somebody in the act of adultery. They grabbed her, probably pretty roughly, threw him in front of Jesus. They all had rocks in their hands to stone her to death because the law says we caught her doing the dirty deed, then we can kill her. So they picked up the stones to stone her, and Jesus doesn't do anything. So he said, well, you know, is it right to stone her or not? And he kneels down. It's the only time we have Jesus writing in something, and we don't know what he wrote. And he stands up again, and he says, you know, whoever of you is without sin, you throw the first stone. And he said, started drawing dirt again. He let them in a very powerful, quiet way know, you guys have taken over God's seat. You're in God's shoes. That should be very uncomfortable for you. You are not God. You have no right taking the law into your hands. You have no right to do what God has restricted. And we're told that one by one, starting with the oldest ones, they went away until the only person that's left is this woman and Jesus. So is Jesus saying it's okay for women to go around and break up homes? Is Jesus saying it's okay for families to be hurt and crushed? Is Jesus okay that that kind of lifestyle is there? No. You know what he says to the woman? He says, go and sin no more. He made a judgment based on what was there, and he knows everything. When you and I come to God's word and we say, oh man, I know, Lord, I know if I can do this. I how can I possibly live in a world that is always judging and judging me, and I am always having a tendency to do the wrong judgment right off the bat. That lets me know that I have a sinful nature that is constantly rebelling against God. How in the world do I do this? You know, with that plank in my eye, how can I help my brother with a little speck in his eye? But you keep on looking at the planks, but not on your eye. You look at the planks on the cross. On the cross is where the perfect judge, the only person who never sinned, he was there on the cross, and he suffered and died for every bad judgment we made. Every time we have put the wrong construction on something. Every time we jump to conclusions and hurt someone's reputation. Every time we've attacked someone with our words. Every time we've been discontent and jealous. All of those sins were placed on Jesus, and he says they are paid in full. That's good news for us. And I'm telling you again, you heard it before, we sang it, your sins are forgiven. That's incredibly good news. You have nothing to worry about. God, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven you all your sins. And that peace, it really irritates Satan, but so what? That peace cannot be taken away from you. So as you go out into this world and you have to make some judgments, it's okay. Make the judgments. Make correct judgments based on everything that you know so that God can get glory, so that others can be helped, not hurt. In Jesus' name, so let us live. Amen.